You want the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? You look to the Gospels. The Gospels, each of the Gospels, devotes much time and attention to that final week of Jesus' life. It's often referred to as Passion Week, and it ends with the death, burial, and resurrection. It's central to the Gospels. It's also central to our salvation. Today, our focus will be on the book of Acts to kind of stay consistent with the series on Acts that we've been looking at. The book of Acts is sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles. But interesting, it doesn't open with the story of the apostles or the story of the Apostle Paul. Instead, the opening of the book of Acts lays the foundation for the book in the resurrection. It opens with the resurrected Jesus. And then as the book unfolds, we find 21 references to the resurrection in the book of Acts, in the preaching and in the resurrected Jesus. The resurrection is the underlying assumption or the foundation of the whole story. In fact, as Luke opens this book, after the initial verses of greeting Theophilus, he gets to the story. Chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, after Jesus died on the cross, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them for over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I like the notion of giving convincing proofs. Our faith is based on the evidence of the resurrected Lord. He was alive. Doesn't that sound remarkably close to the theme verse that we looked at last time we were in our series on the book of Acts? This is 2 weeks ago. Remember, we were in Acts chapter 25. Verse 19 was our focal verse that Sunday. This was the story of Festus describing to Agrippa, in the presence of Paul, the charges made against Paul by the Jewish authorities. Acts chapter 25, verse 19. Instead, they had some doubts or points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus, whom Paul claimed was alive. Jesus was dead, but now he is alive. Think about the book of Acts. It's a historical book. It gives us the history of the early church. And you think about the genre of history. Most historical literature deals with the accomplishments of people who did significant things in their lives, but then they died. Most historical literature will talk about when someone was born, what they accomplished, and when they died. And the historical account is a reflection on how that dead person and their life still has influence long after their departure from this world. However, when you turn to the history of Acts, it's kind of a unique story, a unique history. It's about a person who is alive, not dead. Jesus did die, but he's not dead. He's alive. He came back from the grave. So the history of Jesus is not merely about a man who was born and then died like other historical figures. Rather, it's the continual significance of his continual life. He is alive. He has a rather unique history. In addition to the resurrection being the foundation for the whole story of the book of Acts, it's also the foundation for the preaching seen in the book of Acts, and we again have seen so much of this preaching as we've been working through our series. Many of the 21 references to the resurrection in the book of Acts is found in the preaching of Paul and the preaching of Peter. Now, we're not going to look at all those verses this morning. We're going to explore just some of the key passages that have reference to the resurrection. We're going to start today with the very first sermon. The very first sermon in the book of Acts preached by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. And I hope that you're familiar with the story of Acts chapter 2. That's the wonderful story of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the gathered believers there in the city of Jerusalem. It was a remarkable event, and it drew a crowd. People gathered around the followers of Jesus on this Feast of Pentecost Day to see what had happened to them. And then Peter began to share with the crowd gathered around, linking the events of that day of Pentecost to the resurrection of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Peter is preaching, and he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge." And then here's the story. "But you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because," and listen to this, "it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Death could not keep its hold on Jesus. And the good news is death does not keep its hold on us when we are found in Jesus. The Apostle Paul, talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the remarkable resurrection chapter in the whole Bible. Paul says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The core of the gospel is that the death that came by way of our sin has been replaced by the life that we have in Jesus. Death cannot keep its hold on us when Jesus has taken his hold of us. Now, before we go on to the second sermon in the book of Acts, let's note something. Again, the core of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Paul lays this out, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, a passage that we've looked at on a number of occasions. Paul says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." I want us to note this, because sometimes this is not always seen as the core of the message that the church or believers have for others. Think about this. When you're sharing about your Christian faith with others, when the church is proclaiming the message of Christianity to others, what is often shared? Well, so often we hear the very important message that God loves us and that God has a special plan for our lives. That's the message that many lead with when they're trying to share their faith with others. And that's a true message. God does love us, and God does have a special plan for us, and that is true, but it's not the core of the gospel. If the church is seeking to preach the gospel, its message will be the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the salvation that's available to us who believe in that resurrection. Now, if the church is simply trying to win the favor of men with an appealing message, then the fact that God loves us and has a special plan for us would work. Again, that's a true message, but it's not the core of the gospel. A couple of weeks ago, as we were looking at Paul's defense of his faith before Felix, the Roman governor, we read in Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, that Paul spoke about faith in Christ Jesus, and he discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment of God. So when Paul was given the opportunity, in those final chapters of Acts that we're looking at right now, to present his message, he doesn't talk about the love of God. He doesn't talk about how God has a special life or a special plan for the life of Felix. He talks about the death, burial, and resurrection. And when we looked at this passage a couple of weeks ago, we drew attention to a very interesting feature of the book of Romans. If you recall, Romans, the book of Romans in our Bibles, was Paul's presentation of the gospel to those people living in the city of Rome. And if you recall, we noted that in Romans chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, Paul talks about sin, about faith, about righteousness, about the judgment to come. These are the central themes of the message of the gospel. We are dead in our sin. And because of our sin, we come under the wrath of God. We need to exercise faith in the work of Jesus Christ, that is, believe and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection, in order to enjoy the righteousness that comes from God to those who believe. And we noted that it was not until Romans chapter 5, that Paul gets around to the theme of the love of God. And even then, the theme of the love of God was because of the love of God for this world, God sent his Son to die for our sins. The love of God is not the core of the gospel. We're not saved. We're not saved because God loves us. We're saved because Jesus died for our sins and was raised again. Now, some of you may say, well, wait a minute. John 3:16, isn't that like the key essential verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yes, that is the key verse. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only Son. It was a love that caused God to send his Son. And it is believing in what the Son did for us that brings us eternal life. God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. I think some people get the message as God so loved us that he's going to save us. But really the message is God so loved us that he sent his Son to die for our sins. Well, let's turn now to the second sermon of the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts. It takes place outside the temple in Jerusalem. Again, another miraculous event. Peter and John and just healed a crippled man on the gates of the temple or on the stairs of the temple. And a crowd gathered around. And so Peter took this as another opportunity to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Reading from Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous man, one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. Again, as we see, the central theme of the preaching of the book of Acts is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Looking on now, Acts chapter 4, first two verses. The priests in the temple, or the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees. Remember, the Sadducees were those who did not believe in the resurrection. They came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly grieved because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. You know, they probably would not have been terribly disturbed or terribly grieved if Peter and John were standing there on the temple steps telling all the people how much God loved them and how much God had a special plan for their life. That wouldn't have bothered them. Peter will then turn and explain to the Jewish leaders who were challenging him. Now reading verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Again, Peter and John are not attributing his healing to the fact that God loves them and loves this man and has a special plan for him. It's being attributed to the God who raised Jesus from the dead. The power of life, the power of healing, rose out of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We have life and we have healing in our own lives because of what God did for us in Jesus Christ on the cross and in the tomb. Later in the book of Acts, the apostles were again in trouble with the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They again find themselves having to defend their message before the Jewish leaders. Acts chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. The message of Peter to the Jewish authorities was that they had put Jesus to death, but that God had raised him to life in order to provide forgiveness of sins to Israel. That was the message of Peter to the Jewish authorities. What about Peter's message to the Gentiles? Well, we turn to Acts chapter 10 for that. This is Peter going to the house of Cornelius. What message does he proclaim to this new audience? Well, it's the very same message. The message of the resurrection. Here's a short excerpt of Peter's message to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, beginning verse 39. He says, "We are witnesses of everything he, that is Jesus, did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen." Peter, the same message for the Jews that he had for the Gentiles. It's the message of the gospel. Paul will then send Paul and Barnabas into all the surrounding regions with the very same message. Remember the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul? We looked at that several months ago. What was the central message of Paul as he went from city to city to city? It was the resurrection. Just like Peter, Paul was proclaiming the resurrection. In Acts chapter 13, we see the content of Paul's very first message recorded in the book of Acts, his message to Pisidian Antioch. What does he say to these people? "Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent." The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Again, we're not looking at every single message of the Apostle Paul or Peter. But we've seen so far in this quick survey, the message of Peter, the message of Paul, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, was that God provides salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul, speaking to the intellectuals of the day in the city of Athens, speaking to the philosopher of Athens, Paul says, chapter 17, verse 31, "For he has set a day in which he will judge the world with justice by the man he appointed. And he has given proof of this to all men, by raising him from the dead." Verse 32, "When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some sneered." Why would they sneer? What's much more agreeable, it's much more pleasant to talk about how much God loves you and how much and what special plan he has for you. But the message of the church, the message of the gospel, is that because of that love and because of his special plan for you, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried and to be raised from the dead. The message of the church remains consistent throughout the book of Acts. It has remained consistent throughout the centuries, and we need to embrace and hear and believe and proclaim to others that very same message. We're going to close today just by pointing at the trials of the Apostle Paul before the authorities. We're in the midst of that. We have one more defense to look at. We'll pick that up next time. But if you remember, we've had five defenses. Paul speaking the message, his message, on the Tower of Antonio. before the Sanhedrin, before Felix, before Festus, and the last one we'll look at starting next week is before Agrippa. And all five of those defenses, there's reference to the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that that resurrection brings life to all who believe. We have a message to share. 21 times that message is given in the book of Acts, but that's just the beginning. We too have a message to share. And that message is that he is alive. God brought him back from the dead. And by believing and trusting in that resurrection, that death, burial, and resurrection, we too have life in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have a message to tell. And that message is a simple message, although for some it's a challenging message. For some it's a foolish message. But that message, nonetheless, is that you came and gave your life, died on Calvary to take away our sins, that you were buried, and that you were raised from the dead. We celebrate today as Resurrection Sunday, a day in which you overcame death so that death no longer has its hold on you or on us. It is a day to celebrate. It is a message to remember, and it is a message to proclaim. Thank you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.